to order. It's the House Ways and Means Committee, February 22nd, 2006. Representative Roseberg, Representative Wilson, Representative Samuels, Representative Seaton are present. And we are going to take up today bill, which is House Bill 418 by Representative Seaton. We'll hear this bill, we'll take sponsor introduction of the bill, and take any testimony that from anybody who wants to testify on the bill today, and we won't take any action on the bill today. So once that's concluded, then we'll adjourn the meeting. All right, Representative Seaton, you want to go ahead and present your bill? You can stay there or go forward, whatever you choose. It's up to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And of course, this bill comes from the Article 8, Section 2 obligation that we have as a legislature to provide for the maximum benefit to the people of the state of Alaska. And this bill, you know, fulfills that duty, I think, by looking at a 3% production tax on all mine products. This will give more parity between the different segments of our industry. And it replaces the existing mining license tax, which is a net tax, to one that is a net smelter return. And I might just explain, it's not in this bill called a net smelter return, but on mined minerals, it's the equivalent of that, because what we have is we have a gross tax, which then gets subtracting all the production and the transportation smelting fees, and so it's the value at the established at the end of the smelter, because it's hard to establish a ore value as it comes out of the ground, because that's generally not first part point of sale. The bill further goes into making sure that we have a way for the Department of Revenue to make sure that these are arm-length transactions, so that we don't have shuffling of resources and income. This also gets away from the problem of being able to shift net income to an untaxable body from one that would be taxed. I think what I'd like to do is, before we go into sectional analysis of the bill, I'd like you to look at the charts that we provided. I should have four charts that are a condensation of the legislative report that's research report that's you've got a copy of that also, which was done completed June 28th of this last year. And so these are a condensation of those. And if you look at the first one, it's labeled percent of resource production value paid to state and municipalities from oil, gas, mining, and fishing industries. I think it might be advantageous to look at it in this respect.
Now, just so we're yes. on the same page, are you looking at the Ledge Research Report?
You should actually have four tables that are, three of them are extracted from that report, and the fourth one, they look like this.
Is this table, which table is this?
This is the table that doesn't have a number on it. The other three are table three, table four, and table six. And this is the front one that is labeled percent of resource production value paid to state and municipal.
I don't have it.
What we have is a table of the percent of resource production. We have that. And then there's table three attached to that. And then there's table four attached to that. And then there's not a table six.
I don't have it either.
You don't have table six?
No.
I have table six, but I don't have this one.
Is this out of the state research report?
It's right after the bill.
Can I have a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, we're at ease. All right, we're back on record.
We just don't have number one.
Let's say at ease until those come.
You want to wait?
Yeah.
We're at
yeah.
ease. Back online.
And so, Mr. Chairman, if you'll take a look at that first table, which is labeled percent of resource production value paid to state and municipalities from oil, gas, mining, and fishing industries, you'll see that if you look over at the right-hand columns, the third from the right is percent value to the state. and you'll see that for oil and gas industry, we have in the year 2003, 18.8, and then 20.2 in 2004, and 22.1 in 2005. So we get a you know, basically 20% there. If you look down at mining, you have between 2000 and 2004 calculations, and they're running between 0.8 and 0.5 percent. So 0.8 was the highest. 0.8% is the highest we've received in value back to the state. And then if you look at fishing industry, you'll see it runs from 2.9 to 2.5, or basically 2.7% per year value back from the fishing industry. Now, if you look at the percentage value to the municipalities, you'll see that we got another 2% basically to municipalities from oil and gas. We got about 1% to municipalities from mining, and we got about 2.5% to municipalities from the fishing industry. And so you see on the right hand side there, the total percent value is somewhere around 22% from oil, 1.6% total from mining, and 5% or so from the fishing industry. So if you look at the next chart, 3, that breaks that down more. And so you can see those comparisons of the total values of the industries, and you can see the different taxes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. If I could. Representative Seaton, through the chair, I'm looking at Table 3 and Table 4 here, and I'll direct your attention to FY04. Says the, I'm looking at the fishing amount, the 29 million on table 3 and 29 million on table 4. Are those separate items?
Yes, those are separate items.
So there's 29 million roughly in table 3 that goes to the state GF or wherever?
That's correct.
And then the 29 million in table 4 is distributed to the municipalities?
That's correct. And most of that comes from the raw fish tax, which is a basically a 3% of the gross value of the produced fish, and it's 5% if it's the of the gross value of produced fish if it's done on a floater, not on a shore-based plant. And that amount of tax is then split equally between municipalities or DCED for distribution to communities, right. And half of it is kept by the state.
Mr. Chairman, then looking at mining, looks like 8.8 million in 04 to the state and 10.9 to municipalities. But then I'm looking at the percentages there in that first chart. I don't understand the if that's the dollar amount, there seems to be more going to the munis for mining than there is to GF. So I don't understand this 1.5% or whatever you got, 1.6 for 04.
There is more. Under the mining, because you remember there's no split between the state and the municipality on the taxes from mining. The mining taxes that acquire to the municipality, if you look on page on, let's see, which, if you look on table 3 on mining, it's made up of a number of different taxes there, and the you have that's a state revenue. The municipality revenue is mostly in property tax and severance tax from some boroughs.
So the state governmental take is about 60-40 to the munis for mining and 50-50 for fishing. Would that be correct?
That would be correct at that time.
Thank you.
And the difference is because, and actually there's a lot more take by the municipalities that don't show up in this chart because when Ledge Research constructed this, they forgot to put in all the local property tax to under fisheries. There's no fishing industries taxes. Also, they did not include the vessel license fees, which run up to $900 per vessel now, and we just passed a tax increase, so that'll go up to $3,000 in the future, and it doesn't include the specific fishery permit fees which come to the state. So we have both an increase to fishing from the fishing license, vessel license, and the fishery permits, and we have an increase to the municipality revenue for all of the property tax. So the majority of mining comes from property tax, and the property tax was omitted from the fishing industry section. If you look on check, on table four, and we'll get that corrected, because we should be able to get the amount of local property tax that is taken on, you know, all the fish processing plants and everything else that are taxed at full value, and as well as the tax on all the fishing vessels, because their tax is personal property as well, and that's not included in the fishing taxes. So we can add those.
Follow up?
Oh, yeah, just if you're going to have it readjusted, you might well want to look at the GF amount of state money invested in the fishing industry.
Sure, we can look at DNR.
The net is that mining might be paying more than the fisheries net out to the GF.
I would love to see that data.
Well, I know, but because we pay out more, but I'm not sure. I'm just suspecting that, so it might be interesting. What was the net benefit to the state then?
Right.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you are going to go ahead and have them update that so that we have a complete window to look at?
That's correct. Yeah. I just realized that today when I was reviewing it, that we had the local property taxes on mining, but we didn't have any local property taxes on the fishing industry. And we also, that we have the mining license and rentals under mining, but we don't have the vessel license fees and the fishing permit fees for fishing. So although it's not a although I'm not trying to relate one industry saying one's better than another, we just need to look at the different resources that we have in our state and how they compare. And I think that that's the value of this first chart, where we show those percentage breakdowns and what the return to the state is.
The analysis you've done here on your reports, which are good, really well done, talk about the corporate oil, gas, mining, fishing. This is not the universe of other taxes in the state. There's a timber tax too that's related to a severance tax. Is that right or not?
I think there is. I didn't look at the timber industry. Basically, what I was looking at was the fishing industry and what it's there's been some question of what's the appropriate tax level.
Sure.
And we've been looking at fishing at 3-5% of the gross X vessel price. That's a produced resource price. And I mean, fishermen would love to pay on their net tax. We'd never pay a dime. You know, I mean, that the truth is that no one would ever pay any taxes, which is basically what's been happening with a lot of the mining industry, because they're paying on a net tax. And you can shift costs, you can do those things, which changes your net and where you take the net to whether you pay any tax or not.
One thing I know, there's some folks from the mining industry in the audience, if you're taking notes, we'll want to get a balanced view here, so please provide testimonials. Okay, thanks.
Oh, sure. And furthermore, I don't want anybody to get the opinion that I'm saying that the mining industry is doing anything wrong. I mean, we set up a tax system as a legislature, and we expect people to abide by that tax system. And if we set up a tax system that only returns 0.6% to the state of Alaska, then that's, I have no blame on the mining industry for abiding by the tax structure we take up. So I just want to make sure that nobody thinks that I'm doing anything there. And then there's a question also on taxes, and I'm going through this, Mr. Chairman, if this is okay, before we go to the actual bill itself, because I think that the basic justification and equity of what the tax structure is and what it compares to worldwide is essential for us to know before we go into just changing tax structure. So the next thing is, you'll see some tables there that say significant taxes in selected jurisdictions, and those look like this. And you'll see there's Alaska and Alaska proposed. And you'll see that, you know, our corporate income tax starts at 1.
That's your bill, the last proposed. It's the 418 proposed?
Yeah, the proposed is 418. And so you'll see that the difference is that the corporate income tax stays the same, and then the royalty, instead of 3 to 7% of net profits, with the other royalty of, and that's the production tax, would go to a 3% gross tax, which is equivalent an NSR is a short term for net smelter return, which means you take the gross tax and then you subtract the costs of transportation and smeltering.
What's the source of the data in this chart?
The source of the data in this is that large packet that you have, the Fraser Institute.
Okay, so it didn't come from a guy with a foreign accent?
It did. Canadian, yes.
Sorry, Representative Rookberg, you had a question?
No, they were out and about, and you know, right, we got this stuff for
foreign Dutch
accent there.
Yeah, right.
No, Dutch.
So if you look there, this is just to give you a little bit of comparison between other significant selected jurisdictions, and there's tables, and we got books and books and tables and tables. But if you look at Argentina, they have a corporate tax rate of 35% and a 3% net smelter return. And then you've also got value added, and if you look over, they have a dividend withholding tax of 0 to 35% on dividends. And then there's this other one, interest withholding tax. And you'll see it's 15% on interest on loans or 35% on intercompany loans. And this is one of the ways that they try and get around these arm's length. In other words, how do you shift your income from one place to another? If you have the same company but two different subsections and one gives the other a loan at a very high interest rate, they can shift income from one section to another section that wouldn't be taxable. So you see there's 35% tax on that interest. Mm-hmm. So if somebody artificially inflates. So these are some of the things that we don't have any mechanisms in our state tax to prevent the tax shifting. But these are just a few that you can see internationally that have tried to be there. And then you can see Australia has 30% corporate tax rate. And, you know, again, comparing that to our 9.4% above $90,000, they're at 30%, plus they have a 1.25 to 7.5% net smelter returns. And they get complicated because it varies. Gold may be much higher than, you know, like copper or something like that. And you can see they also have interest and dividend withholding taxes. Bolivia, you can just look right down here. You know, some of these are, you probably don't need to concentrate too much. Botswana is 25% plus 15% net smelter return. Brazil, interesting one, 33% plus 3% gross sales of gold. So, you know, there have been comments that we would be out of the mainstream if we were taxing on a net smelter return or a gross amount of the tax, and so we're not at all. You can see China, 33% corporate tax and 2% of the gross revenue, and now that 2% of gross revenue is more than net smelter return, because it's not, that's a gross revenue. So anyway, just looking down these, if there's any others that anyone wants to talk about, that's fine. But you can see that there's a whole lot of them that are. One of them. South Africa is kind of interesting because it's a highly mineralized area.
It seems like just to talk about the policy framework for existing tax policy on mining. That, and I appreciate the data that Fraser's, or that you have put in the packet for us, but that Alaska's policies really do, on an international basis, encourage investment here, and that's what we want to do. And obviously, we want to do that because it's one of the top-ranked states, nations in the world that encourages investment.
That's correct. And if you look at the, actually, Ian, did these tables come from Fraser, or did these come from the? know these.
That, look at the last page. There's a couple different sources.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, this is Global Mining Taxation.
Why don't you have a seat here and identify yourself for the record if you're going to talk? Sir?
My name is Ian Lang, and I work for Representative Paul Seaton.
And Ian, why don't you say what you, repeat what you said for the record?
I was responding to some questions that you'd had regarding the tax international tax comparison charge that you've got before you, and there were a variety of sources used to compile that, primarily a book that was put together by James Otto, who is a specialist in mining taxes at the Colorado School of Mines. And then there were some additional sources to accommodate more recent changes in tax structure. If you look at Peru, for instance, and South Africa, there have been more recent efforts to change the tax structure to something that's more equitable between the state and the industry.
And those are footnoted there at the last page. You can see that's from Global Mining Taxation Comparative Study in 2000, mostly. And of course, Alaska and Alaska Proposed were added by us on these charts. The Fraser Institute, and you have a packet there on the Fraser Institute, and it is a Canadian socioeconomic organization. And what it does is it sends out a survey that to all the mining companies and asks them to rate all these different places on different things. And there's, you've been given some of these charts, and you see there the charts that go through there, the black and white comparison based on what the mining industry responds to as being the good place to do business, or and what the mineral potential is for those, all these different countries. So these are ratings, and this is from the 2004-05 study. We also have the 2003-04 study as well. But the
Representative Sands.
Thank you. A question for you, the sponsor, Mr. Lang. On these total numbers, the problem with comparing a state to a country is the question is always, does the federal income tax implications jump in on the rankings? And that's been incorporated into the, I mean, because it's a huge component. I mean, it's another, whatever, 35-40%. So that's been incorporated into the rank of investment attractiveness, and somewhere on here it's the federal income tax component is on these.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, Representative Samuels, that's not in this. This is just the state comparison. Okay. But the question was net smelter return. Is that a reasonable thing? Now, we have state-to-state comparisons as well. I mean, we've got all the states compared, right, and we can get those for you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. I'd be more curious to look at the total government take. The industry doesn't care who they pay it to. They know they don't get it. So the total government take on how much the feds take and how much the state takes and however the structure is compared to Argentina, I'm assuming that this is the normal thing, unless they have a sub-state or a sub-unit there where they're taking some of the low end on the sub-political unit state. Where to compare apples to apples, because for us to a country doesn't shake right unless you include the feds in.
And we can do that for you for Friday, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lang?
If I can respond to that. In the attractiveness index that you have there, investment attractiveness, I believe in the states that are listed there, that is factored in. We didn't put that into this chart here because this is primarily international taxes. But it is included as part of the overall, I believe it's the policy index, and then that is included as part of the synthesized investment attractiveness index for those various states.
Okay. But for, Mr. Chairman, but for Alaska and Alaska Proposed, we can add those in. I can tell you that one of the things that stimulated this was that we had testimony here last year when Greens Creek was here. There is a net island royalty for Greens Creek mine because it's in the Forest Service, and their president was here, and they did testify they've never paid a dime on that net island royalty. So the government take as far as mineral take from federal government land in Alaska, at least in the case, local case of Greens Creek, has been zero. And that was their president testifying here. So there would be the corporate tax difference, because the corporate tax structure will be there. And we can see what we can find as far as the royalty. I mean, there is a net island royalty provision, but the provision, and that's why we were looking at net tax structure, is because the net tax structure means that even if you have a profitable mine, you know, you may be able to escape any payment of taxes on that.
Samuels.
Thank you. Not to beat a dead horse, but they escaped the local tax, but the government tax, the feds, I'm sure, got theirs. So they're taking 35% of the profit, or 40, or whatever their tax rate is. So when you, I'm just looking for a number that incorporates everything the governments take from a local government to the state to a county to whatever, and the feds, so we can compare it to Argentina.
Sure, and Mr. Chairman, we can add the corporate income tax into here. Like I say, we know these are kind of quiet deals most of the time, and it's hard to find out what those individual negotiated deals are on federal land. We do have the testimony before this committee, though, that at least under that federal contract, there has been nothing paid. So I don't know how to, I mean, that's as far as the royalty provision. We can meld in the income tax provision.
Yeah, that's.
We can do that, but, and we can also look at import or export duty. We can see if there's anything available for that comparatively.
Just a minute. Ms. Flying, you had something to say? No?
Nothing additional.
You're okay. Sorry. We're joined by Representative Moses. One of the things I wanted to mention first before we go on, Representative Seaton, is there are two folks that are online, Dan Stickle with the Department of Revenue Economist and Dick Milius with DNR Mining. Gentlemen, I know you're there to answer questions, and if folks here have questions, we will call upon you. Is there anyone else online? Oh, listen only. Okay. Go ahead, Representative.
Okay. So now if you'd go over and look at the Fraser Institute study, which is these graphs that go sideways. And you'll see this is the 2004-05 edition. And again, this is the attractiveness index of where people want to invest. And so this is a survey of all these mining companies of their attitudes towards all these different jurisdictions. And you'll see, if you look at figure number one, which is the policy potential index, it starts off with Nevada and Ireland and Manitoba and Utah and goes right down on as far as the policy that they have. And you'll see Alaska is right down there about in the middle. And then if you look at the next one, figure two, you'll see the current mineral potential. And this is assuming current regulations on land and use restrictions. And you'll see Alaska is down there about three-quarters of the way to the bottom. And this is under current land use regulations. If you go to the next page, which is figure three, which is called best practices mineral potential. That's assuming no land use restrictions in place and assuming industry best practices. Now, this is an interesting one because best practices here means basically very little regulation, environmental or taxation or anything else. If there were no restrictions, you see Alaska is number three. So our mineral potential is very high if we assume the same structure across everything. And the composite you'll see on the next page is with policies and the mineral potential. You see Alaska is number six. So is number six attractiveness when you, worldwide, when you consider all of the mining states in the United States, as well as all of these other places in the world, all of these other countries that are scored.
Representative Wilson.
Okay, if with our policies and with our potential, why don't we see more then? Just because of the areas that they're way out in the middle of nowhere and things like that? I mean, how come we should see a lot more going on then, shouldn't we?
Well, through the chair, Representative Wilson, we do see a lot going on. You know, we see Pebble, we see Donlin Creek, we see Fort Knox, we see Red Dog, we see some of the biggest mines in the world. However, if you look back over the policy, you'll see we're pretty well down at the bottom because we have a fairly strict regulatory process that we go through. And so as far as regulations that we have to go through, a mine has to go through, it has to do an EIS, it has to go through all these things. So regulatorily, we are not at all like Chile where, you know, we have quotes from people that say, oh, it's great, we don't have to do anything. We can do anything we want. We have no environmental regulation. We have no permits to do. We just do whatever we want, and then we pay an amount. And so regulatorily, we are down at the bottom. Mineral potential-wise, we're way up at the top. And even when you combine the two, I mean, we're third in the world. Minerals, assuming best practices, meaning pretty much everybody doesn't have any regulations. And yet, and we're still sixth, even when you consider us being at the bottom of the regulatory regime as far as difficulty to go through permitting and the mineral potential, we're still sixth in the world.
Yeah.
So, I agree that we have a lot, but considering that we're sixth, with all that, I would think that we should be seeing more than we are. I still feel like we should be seeing more. But of course, because of our environmental regulations, that's probably the main thing that's holding back right now, that probably.
Well, and through the chair, Representatives, I wouldn't characterize it all as environmental regulations. We have permitting regulations that say, you know, that you have to go through studies to make sure that you're not going to be a net loss to the rest of the community. It's also our tax structure. It also all of the other things that you go through with DNR and the federal government. I mean, you have both of these permitting, even though we've done a lot of streamlining. But to be sixth in the world as far as attractiveness to investment, even including when you're third at the bottom as far as requirements for
Mr. Lang.
If I could comment on these charts, it's important to recognize that the 64 regions that were selected here to look at are considered, because they were requested by mining executives, to be those areas in the world that are most attractive to investors, to mineral investors. And Representative Wilson, if I can comment on the investment expenditures in the state. Last year, we saw about $70 million in solely exploration and $209 million spent in development in the state. And that is part of the overall $1.6 billion that is spent in the state in the mining industry. These charts, it was sort of difficult when Representative Seaton and I were going through this Fraser Institute study to sort of pair out what was necessary and what wasn't, because there's a tremendous amount of information. But the most important thing to recognize is when we're looking for a more equitable tax structure, we don't want to harm Alaska's ability to attract investors, obviously, and we don't want to tax anybody out of business. And so we looked at our rating within all of these other regions, and we looked at our standing and then said, well, what are the things that are really affecting our rating? And I have a lot of other little graphs that go into that in a little greater depth. But as Representative Seaton had commented, our mineral potential is extremely high. We have a lot of We have a lot going for us in that respect. And the areas that mining executives had commented were their hesitations in investing more or feeling more comfortable with that in Alaska tended to be environmental regulations, regulatory duplication and inconsistencies, infrastructure, because we're often working in very remote locations. But then when you look at political stability and obviously a very attractive tax structure, Alaska rated very high. But those are the things that really have tended to keep Alaska from the very top of that list. And then I think where Representative Seaton will go next is getting into the effect or the effect of those investment decisions by the tax structure, what we have in place, and in comparison to what other regions we are competing with for these metal minerals.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the next one, figure eight, is taxing regime. And you can see that we've got very low, we're way up there at the top, we've got very low problematic for as being a deterrent to investment. So anyway, the taxing regimes are over. There's several other pages here that go through, you know, what the different areas are as far as where they're rated. As far as it encourages investment, you'll see that the number of respondents are within the encourages investment is 12 and not a deterrent is 62%. So between those two, we're looking at 74% of all mineral CEOs say that Alaska is very encouraging to investment. So with that, I just wanted to lay those forward to you. I know it'll take some study to look through both of those comparisons. And if you'd like, we could now go back to the bill itself, or would you like some further discussion on this?
Mr. Chairman, I do have to leave, unfortunately, but I just wanted to make note that I've been here 12 years, and of all the major mines, all of the four were in production when I came here 12 years ago, and the only one that's come into production in the last 12 years is Pogo, which poured its first ingot a few weeks ago. Well, it took them 12 years.
Was Fort Knox going?
Yeah. Fort Knox. Red Dog, who's providing the foundation for an entire borough and school district, and Greens Creek, and who am I missing?
Red Dog, Greens Creek, Fort Knox, and Pogo.
Yeah. Then there's always Kensington. I remember the AJ that
they're
almost
not
got started up. I know. How about that? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, I do notice that the legislature did pass a expiration credit tax, which is repealed by this bill, which I find a little bit disturbing. But anyway, I'm glad to have discussion of this issue.
I think we have a session at 10, don't we?
Right.
Yeah. No, 11.
11, but there's other meetings.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we have another meeting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. If you, I think the easiest thing to do on the bill is just go through the sectional analysis and mention what it accomplishes and how it gets there. And the first, of course, is just the legislative intent, section one of what we're doing and fulfilling our charge under the Constitution. And then we delete references. We go through and let's see, on section five, amends the state royalty production, so 3% of the gross value at point of production is determined, and that's the net smelter royalty or net smelter return, and that's the way that's done. And then there's a number of these that are changing, just references, you know, to different parts of the statute. Then on section seven, we're changing and adding that the Commissioner of Revenue may provide information to Department of Natural Resources. And then on Section 12 provides that for mining production tax after December 31st, 06, and would start at the 0.6% value in 07 and then escalate to 3% by 2002. And again, that's the tax on the value at the would-be net smelter return on minerals. But it also exempts taxation the first $50,000, the point of sale. And then Section 4366 provides for the deferment of the production tax for the first 3 years, you know, except for production of sand, gravel, coal, or rock. So anyway, for mineral production, which has a high capital expenditures, there would be a deferment of those taxes, and then they could be made up as 10 equal payments, that deferment, over the next 10 years, starting in the fourth year. And then we proceed on to defining that gross value at production and how we get there with a net smelter return, and authorizing the Department of Natural Department of Revenue to reject values if they don't appear to be arm's length and a fair market value, lets them determine a fair market value. And we have provisions for determining reasonable transportation costs, what those are. Again, allows the department to not accept those if those aren't reasonable transportation costs. And it requires the tax be paid before the April of the next year. And then Section 4366060 exempts an individual from requiring to file tax if their total gross value of production is less than $10,000. Currently, there is a requirement in law that every person that mines any minerals, including, you know, small placer miners, recreational, have to file taxes. Now, a number of them are violating the law and not filing tax returns. And this actually exempts them so that somebody earning under $10,000 is not even required to file, and those that earn under $50,000 are not required to pay tax because there's that $50,000 tax exemption. And then it requires affiliated taxpayers to file a combined statement. A number of these provisions are to make sure that we don't have tax shifting. And then we get into lists that are repealed. And that basically takes us through what the bill does. The heart of the bill is that it changes from a net tax to a production tax. It's basically a net smelter return with a schedule for implementing that, and that's on page 4 of the bill that starts on, you know, in 2007 would be 0.6%.
Could your staff for next time, unless those statutes that are repealed in Section 15 are just sort of ministerial cleanup, if they're substantive repealers, could we see which is being repealed under Section 15?
Sure. We sure can. And most
copies of that.
Yeah, and most of that is that we've repealed the net mining tax.
Yeah. Let's
and so that's but we'll get you that.
And then the exploration credit tax, where was that? Which statute is that found in?
That is,
let me see. Anyway, if you could get a copy of that statute too for the packet, because I think the guts of this is really Section 12 of the bill and Section 4. So we'll go from there when we come back on Friday, and we'll take further testimony from you, anyone else you want to present, and start industry as well. You can testify.
Are there any further questions that anybody would like us so that we can get the information? Because a lot of this stuff is technical, and if we it would help if anyone would like us to draw out any other information, we can have that.
Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's the last page of the packet. If this is information from the Alaska Department of Revenue. Will you go over that a little bit? Just,
what is the title on
this
that?
This one right here. It tells us how many ounces of gold, silver, lead, zinc, and sand and gravel. It's the proposed tax on the gross value, and I was just wondering, is this the difference between what we're getting now and what we would be getting then? That's what I would like to.
Yeah.
I would like to show, or for sure, know what difference is it from now compared to what your bill would be.
Sure.
To the
just
state.
For your information, we're going to adjourn at 10. You want to answer that now, or you want to come back on Friday?
We'll come back on Friday, but I'll have the answer for you.
Anything else, Representative Wilson? You want to know about?
That'll be fine.
Anyone else? All right, we're adjourned.